be seated. So we are been in this third week now of a Christmas sermon series, and it's called Christmas Traditions. And we've been looking at and thinking about, at least as we began into the sermon, about traditions. What is it about this season that we love and that we look forward to, and you know, and that you know, we look around and we will say Christmas is here, or Christmas is coming when we see this, or when we taste this, or when we hear this. And so, you know, the first week we talked about, Pastor Josh was this sermon, and we talked about decorations. And of course, decorations, they start so early these days, but you know something's coming when you see the decorations. And so that you know, Josh looked at the prophecies and how throughout the Old Testament, you see these messianic prophecies of Jesus that are coming that he fulfilled. And so the Old Testament is, in the New Testament too, to some degree, but the Old Testament is filled with these decorations about Jesus is coming, and in the New Testament about the second coming of Christ when he comes again. And then last week we talked about food. And this just, you know, that just kind of fills us, you know, during the season, literally. But I mean, it just, you know, when we come to the Christmas table, or we come to a Christmas party or something, and then we're just looking for those certain foods that this is when Christmas, when we see that. And you know, we all have different traditions, some of them the same, and some of them are very, very different. And we got to kind of think about that last week. And we also looked about Bethlehem. And that Bethlehem literally means house of bread. And so we looked at the nourishment that comes with the Christ child. And so this week, we are looking at Christmas songs. And so we put out on Facebook and asked you to kind of consider, what are your favorite Christmas songs as you think about Christmas? The things that you know Christmas is coming when you hear these songs. And maybe some of the songs, after a while, you sort of get tired of them. Particularly those that they play over and over and over again. Though it was kind of an interesting Facebook discussion, and it was free and wide-ranging of the kinds of things that we saw on there. Everything from, you know, Mary, Did You Know, and some of those, to the, you know, the lighter ones like Blue Christmas by Elvis and that sort of thing. One person did put Christmas Shoes on there. I don't know if they were serious. Christmas Shoes is sort of the Hallmark movie equivalent of a Christmas song, isn't it? You know, it's like the people that go to the airport to see, you know, where people are coming out the airplanes and to watch, you know, recently reunited people hug, and they stand there until the airport security asks them to leave. So you know, that's kind of that whole thing. But you know, as I was looking at some research, I found some interesting things. In some ways, I'm not gonna get up on my preacher's soapbox about this and the reflection on our culture. Surprising of what the top Christmas songs were, and you know, one of them, the source is streaming sources, so it's pretty accurate. They know the top. I'm gonna give you the 10. I'll give you the top 5 streaming songs at Christmas. So these are the most popular songs, at least this Christmas. And so number 5, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, Brenda Lee. John, know Brenda Lee is from Porterdale, Georgia? How many of y'all knew that? Yeah, Brenda Lee was from Porterdale, Georgia. She's very short, but very strong voice. Number 4, Mistletoe by Justin Bieber. No, it gets worse. Number 3 is Christmas Eve by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, which is pretty cool. I mean, you gotta admit, that's pretty cool. But number 2, I'm not even sure that this is a Christmas song. Number 2 on this list is Do You Want to Build a Snowman from the motion picture Frozen. And the number 1 is one that I just feel like they ought to declare a moratorium on for the next 10 years, and that's All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah Carey. And so I said, all right, those are Christmas songs, I get it. Those are secular songs. I want to know what the top Christmas carols are. And so this source was the New York Public Library. Again, I think if we surveyed our congregation, it would be different. But here are the top 5 for that one. Number 5, and this is surprising, Children Go Where I Send Thee. you know, five for the gospel preachers, four for the forest, and knocking on the door. Y'all know it, right?
Yes.
You look puzzled. Okay. Number four, angels we have heard on high. Number three, how this got mixed in Christmas carols, I don't know. Jingle bells. Number two, we wish you a Merry Christmas. And number one, deck the halls. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I'll say about that. But, you know, the Christmas songs, the secular songs can fill us with Christmas cheer. You know, at the 5 o'clock service, we actually kind of like to start there, but we don't like to end there because we don't want to miss what Christmas is all about. We don't want to miss what gift we may receive from the Christ child this year. And so one of the gifts of Christmas carols is the stories that are told in those stories, the stories of God coming to earth, stories of faithful shepherds and faithful magi and Mary and Joseph and their journey. And so that's what I look forward to. I don't know about you. That's what I look forward to in singing those. And it seems like the closer we get to Christmas, the more real it becomes. And certainly on Christmas Eve when we're together is when it really comes real. I want to read a couple of of scriptures for you. The first one comes from Isaiah. Get over there to it. So here it is, Isaiah, and I think this is chapter 33. And we hear about music here, and this is one of those decorations that are leading up to the event. We hear how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who says, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. I love this translation. This burst into songs of joy. This week it was the joy candle, right? Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has combined his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. This beautiful story, you know, from the ancient prophets talking about Jesus coming to earth and the historical Bethlehem story, but how we know that can become true for us time and time again, that when our lives feel like they are the ruins of Jerusalem, you know, using that as a metaphor, that Christ can come into that situation and give us joy in a time and place that it seems like there is no joy. Here's a one from Luke. This is really kind of a fulfillment of that. You know, you hear it in Isaiah, and very much you see it in the Luke story in chapter 2. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with an angel praising God and saying, I believe they were singing, but praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. That's what we just sang, right? Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. And so that is sort of the aspirations of the Christmas story, of the incarnation, of our journey through nativity. That's sort of the understanding of joy and peace and love and hope and all of those things. But sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that. As we look around our world and we talk about peace on earth, we see all the unrest and all of the evil and all of the heartache and all of the things that are going on. And sometimes it doesn't seem very peaceful. And we wonder, is peace on earth? Are we just being on like some sort of superficial level as we sing about peace or we sing about joy? It's so important for us to get to that authentic place. And I believe that if we are able to do that, God will meet us. I want to talk about this guy. How many of you know who this is just looking up at him? There's no reason why you should. Unless you're Sam Sweeney or something, she's an English teacher. That is William Wadsworth Longfellow. How many of y'all have heard of him? He wrote, right. We all studied about him. He was a wild-looking guy. He was a really American patriot. You know, he was here around the time that we were liberated from the British, and he wrote The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. That may be one of the famous things that he wrote. He also wrote, like, Song of Hiawassee that we all learned in school. I want to tell you a story about another poem that he wrote that's been made into a Christmas song. And this is the song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Well, what you need to know about him is in 1961, what happened in 1961, too? Y'all know that? It's when the Civil War started. And so here's an American patriot who is, what did I say, 1961?
18.
What did I say?
I was born in
1861. How often do I do stuff like that? Too often. No, 1861. Y'all know what I mean. 1861. Thank you for correcting me. I always have permission to do that. So 1861, this patriot, you know, who had been there and, you know, had wrote Midnight Ride of Paul Revere, and then suddenly, you know, he is seeing this war between this country, this new country that he loves, and the shots are ringing out, the first ones. And so he was with his wife together, and on July 9th, 1961, and his wife, 1861. July 9th, 1861, just 2 months after the Civil War had started, and his wife was trying to seal an envelope with wax when her dress caught on fire, and it started a fire, and he tried to put it out in such a way that actually his body ended up being really badly burned. His wife died in the fire. It was a tragic, just breaking his heart and leaving him, you know, with scars and in a bad condition, so much that he couldn't even go to his wife's funeral. And so he's heartbroken. And then his son announces that he wants to join the Northern Army to William Wadsworth Longfellow could not give his blessing to that. And it wasn't because he was opposed to his wife. He was a patriot after all. But the reason was because he didn't want to lose anyone else. And so his son went off to war. And in one of the battles, a bullet struck and went into his spinal cord in such a way that left him paralyzed. And so here he is, this man has lost his wife. And now, you know, his son is an invalid in poor health, and he is badly burned. And so that Christmas came along around, and people were doing what people do at Christmas time even back then. There's been a celebration of Christ's birthday for a long time. And so as he heard all of that, he wrote in his journal how inexpressibly sad are all the holidays. How inexpressibly sad are all the holidays. There are no words. How many of y'all ever felt like that? Inexpressible. I can't put into the words how alone I feel. I can't put into words how devastated I am. And to hear all of the music and all the laughter just makes it seem worse. So that next year passed. And then the next year, he wrote something very similar. He says, "A Merry Christmas, say the children, but there is no more for me. A Merry Christmas, say the children, but there is no more for me." It was just a devastating loss. You understand that difficult Christmas. And then the following year, on Christmas morning, he heard the bells. And he wrote this poem. I'm going to also play the version of it in just a second. But I want to read this because these are his words, and they're a little bit different from the poem. But hear this man and his testimony of pain, and then also this awareness of God's presence with him, Emmanuel. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet the words repeat, O peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south. And with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the health stones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Thank you. community that we don't know, around in our neighborhoods, that are facing the most unbelievably difficult Christmas of their lives. They're all around us. Maybe right next door, across the street. We may pass them at McDonald's or Kroger, but they're there. And part of our witness is to have that sensitivity and to be able to discern and be there with this message of hope, to be able to empathize with those around us and to see the pain that they're going in. There are people all around us that we don't know. There are people that we do know. There are people in this church that are facing the worst Christmas imaginable. And we need to be the church and to be there for them. People that, you know, that maybe some of you know and some of you don't know, but, you know, their situations are known by a lot of us. And then there are people that are here with us this morning.